All right. Well, good morning. It's good to see y'all this morning, the few of us that are here and all of y'all on the internet. We're going to start out by singing One Day. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as can be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Living, he loved me, dying, he saved me, buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day he rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
Amen. All right, our next song will be Count Your Blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend.
Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, next we're going to sing, There Is a Fountain. Okay. Oh, yeah, there is a fountain filled. Okay. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Praise the Lord. That's right. All right. For our last song, we'll sing He Lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. And please welcome Pastor Steve.
Wow, wow, wow. All right. Well, here we go. Amen. Now, we've had some improvements to the video live stream, or there are supposed to be improvements. Hopefully it all goes well today. As you've been watching over the last several weeks, I guess, almost 2 months, I guess, getting on down the road with the live stream here, the camera used to be not more than about 8 feet away from me. I mean, it was easy for me to look into the lens of the camera and point my pointy finger and get my preach on and everything, but now the camera's all the way in the back of the sanctuary at the sound booth. And I don't know if I can quite focus quite right on the camera. It's right there. I think we're going to have to put a flashing red light on it so I know where to point. Amen. But great things are happening. We've got the sound booth is being expanded to accommodate all this video stuff, because we're going to keep live streaming, right? We're going to keep live streaming even though we come back and we'll be in public worship together here in. Today's what, the 24th? We've got the 31st, and then we're back June 7th. And so we got to start getting the pews marked off, signs put on them, blue tape, whatever we're going to do there, and every other pew. And if you are over 65, just kind of give you a heads up, if you are over 65, when we get everybody in that's going to come on June 7th, think about gloves and think about wearing a mask, okay? Maybe just for the few couple of Sundays, and maybe they'll relax the regulations and stuff. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to wear gloves. But if you're over 65, those things are highly highly encouraged to do. Amen? And that way, when you leave here, you just pull the gloves off, throw them in the trash, and you're good to go. Get in your car, get a little Germ-X on you, man. You're good to go. All right? So that's what's coming. Amen? All right. So June the 7th, are you awake? June the 7th is when we get back at it, all right? So remember your COVID mandates. We'll try to get those on the Facebook and on the email as we get closer, maybe not this week, but maybe the next week, so that everybody's familiar. And then we'll go over those COVID mandates right before we get on June the 7th. What is this weekend? Memorial Day weekend. We are so thankful as a nation, as a people. I'm so thankful as a pastor for those brave men and women that have given the ultimate sacrifice, shed their blood on foreign soil, defending freedom, so that we can today preach from the inerrant Word of God. I am thankful for those men and women that have given their lives. And we remember them today, this Memorial Day weekend, and we thank the Lord for their sacrifice, their ultimate sacrifice of giving their lives, shedding their blood, so that we as Americans can be free. It's a great time, amen? Great time of remembrance. We want to remember them, celebrate their lives, think about how special they are to this country. If you have a copy of God's Word, we are in Matthew chapter 5. There it is. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin reading here in verse 17. We're going to pick it up right where we left off, Matthew 5, beginning in verse 17, and we'll take it through verse 20. Now, for my few in the sanctuary today, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. It's not a long passage, but it is. There's a few verses here. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, and we'll take it through verse 20. The Word of God reads this. It says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." Verses 19 and 20. "Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Notice verse 20. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we thank you that we finally get back into this great gospel, the gospel of Matthew. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy, inerrant word. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day that we get to come back publicly together. Father God, we pray for your congregation. We pray for your church, that they would continue to be vigilant, to be safe. And Lord, we know as time goes on, our own psyche, our own minds, we want to do what? We want to not be as safe as we should, and we don't want to take all the precautions because we've been doing it so long. But Lord, I pray that we would stay disciplined in that. And Lord, we would just continue on using the brain that you gave us, God, to try to be as safe as we can. Lord, in the midst of all this, we continue to pray for our healthcare workers. We continue to pray for those doctors and nurses, for those nurses' assistants, for those hospitals, Lord, for those folks that are working at the nursing homes and different clinics around. Father God, we just pray a hedge of protection around them. Strengthen their immune systems, Lord. Give them what they need to serve the public and to serve their fellow human being. And Lord, we just pray that you bring this country, this state, you bring this county, this region through this, Lord, as you bring the rest of the world through it. Father God, we just pray that you spare life, Lord, and you help those that are sick get through this. And we pray for those families, Lord, that have lost loved ones. We pray for your comfort, your grace, and your mercy. Help them go through what they're going through. But Lord, as we think about this passage today, as we think about getting back into this Matthew's gospel, Lord, I pray that you speak to us. That God, as we look at your word, we're not going to be able to cover all these verses, but Lord, as we kind of just reintroduce what we're doing here in the gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Father God, I pray that you just become real to us wherever we're listening to this, watching this, receiving this, whether we're doing it live or whether we've tuned in after the fact. Father God, I pray the Holy Spirit just be in the midst of where we're at, and Lord, you meet with us as we get into the Word of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. And we just rejoice today that we are in a free country, that we can do what we're doing because of men and women that have defended freedom and that have carried the banner of the American flag across this world. Thank you for these that have gone before us and shed their blood. We rejoice and we remember in their sacrifice today. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what? Well, we have an incredible opportunity. An incredible opportunity for what? To get back into the most famous sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and we're talking about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now, as all good preachers do, our Lord, the master communicator, he captures our attention immediately by hitting us right between the eyes. He says something that must have struck his original hearers, his original listeners. It must have struck them right between the eyes. He says this in verse 17. Look at it with me together. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Now, we think about this passage and we think about this verse, and we know Jesus, those of us that are saved, and we know the Bible, those of us that read it. But this was not a mere man who said these words. If you're just kind of visiting with us today, if you're just kind of tuning in with us today, you don't normally listen to a message, you don't normally attend a service online. When we think about Matthew 5:17, if this is all kind of new to you, this is not a mere man who said these words. This Jesus, as the Bible tells us, was fully man, the Son of Man, but also fully God, the Son of God. And so, what I want you to think about, those of us that are saved, those of us that are thinking about receiving Christ, you got to put yourself in the sandals, you got to put yourself in the shoes of his Jewish listeners to appreciate what a remarkable assertion that was, verse 17. When he said that he had come, they had understood that to be a messianic reference. He's the Messiah when he says, I've come. He's the Messiah. That he was the one that Moses in the Old Testament scriptures had promised would come. Moses makes that assertion in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, when he says, hey, there's a prophet coming like me, and you need to listen to him. What did Jesus come to earth to do? Well, he came to save humanity from their sins, which is, in reality, he came to fulfill the law of God. Jesus came to remove the penalty of sin. Jesus came to fulfill the law of God. Now, the day we're living in, I told you months back, it's going to get weird around here. I didn't literally know it was going to get this weird, but we live in a day and we live in an age in which the law of God is not what? It's not loved. The law of God's not loved. The law of God is not honored. The law of God is not regarded as it should be by man. And you probably already know that, right? I mean, if you have any spiritual sense, you probably already know that. But what you may not know is that history reveals that almost every age has been an age in which the law of God was not loved or honored or regarded as it should have been. But what is perhaps so strange about today's world? What is perhaps so difficult to wrap your head around about today's age is what's unusual about our time is that there are so many today who profess a faith in Jesus Christ, and yet they believe that the law of God is something that for this present age is to be set aside. That's weird to me. So with that said, I want to share with you, as we introduce back into the Sermon on the Mount, as we jump back in with both feet, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, I want to share with you three things, just three things. I know some of you probably got your grills getting ready, you got your charcoal ready to light, or you got your propane ready to turn on. You're ready to get your grill on, right? I mean, it's Memorial Day, right? Memorial weekend, right? Not Memorial Day tomorrow, but it's Memorial weekend. So I get it. So three things. Number one, first thing is we think about this passage, Matthew 5:17-20. Number one, the age concerning the law identified. Okay, we're identifying what's going on in the age. The age concerning the law and how that concern is identified. Number one, as we think about this, the formal name for this belief that's going on in the age we live is called antinomianism. Now, you've heard that term before. If you've attended Bible studies, if you've been in the church for any time, you've heard antinomianism. So let me just kind of fill you in, review you on what that is. Nomos, when we think about antinomianism, nomos is the Greek word for law, nomos. And so to be antinomian or antinomianism simply means to be what? To be against the law. And to hold that position, the believer is no longer under obligation to preach or to obey God's Old Testament law. That is bizarro. Now, this very erroneous belief, antinomian or antinomianism, this very erroneous belief has entered into the church at many points throughout her history. One notable occasion was through the early church heretic by the name Marcion. Now, his followers even went so far as to alter Jesus' words in Matthew 5:17 to say this, "Do not think that I came to fulfill the law, but rather to destroy it." The Marcion heresy, right? We even hear that destroy the law attitude today when people say this. Listen very carefully, because this is what they say, this is what they think, this is what they post, this is what they text, this is what they talk about. Listen very carefully. We even hear that destroy the law attitude today when people say, this is what they say, "I'm sure glad that I live in the age of grace." That's what they say, which of course is a true statement. We are living in the age of grace. Amen? We are living in the age of grace. The danger is when people go on to live like they have nothing further to do with the Old Testament law. And so when you make the statement about grace without a desire for holiness, when you make that statement about grace without a desire to glorify God in your life, when you make that statement about grace, you are expressing, whether you know it or not, you are expressing an antinomian spirit, an antinomian attitude, an antinomian mindset. Now, let me give you some clarification, because I just talked about grace, and you think, is he against grace? No, I'm for grace. I'm all about it. Grace, grace, grace is greater than our sin. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm all for the grace part. But let me give you some clarification. We are indeed set free from the curse of the law, the penalty for not keeping the law. We are indeed set free from that curse for our having failed to keep all of the law perfectly. None of us in here, none of you watching me today, listening to me, none of us have ever been able to keep the law perfectly. Right? Amen? I mean, that makes sense. However, and this is where it gets tricky, however, we are not set free from the law's standards of holiness. As the Apostle John has written, 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, the Word of God reads this, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Amazing, isn't it? Amen. We are not saved by keeping the law. Trying to give you some clarification. We're not saved by keeping the law. We could call that good works. We're not saved by good works, right? We're saved by grace, faith, grace, through the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, His shed blood, all that. We're not saved by keeping the law, called good works, if you will. Rather, we are saved by faith to do what? To then do good works. For why? Why do we do good works? For God's glory. Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Galatians 5:1. Galatians 2:16 says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified." Galatians 2:16, Galatians 5:1. But you got to balance those two with 1 John 5, verses 2 through 3. Makes sense? That makes sense. Amen? You got to balance them out. So we identify the age concerning the law. What can we say? What can we say about that? We are living in pretty much an antinomian against the law times. That's where we find ourselves living in 2020. 2020. Here we are coming up on Memorial Day. That's where we're living. That's where we've been. An antinomian against the law times. The age concerning the law identified. Number two, our connection to the law identified. How are we connected to it? We still have a connection to the law in that we are declared righteous in accordance with the standards of the law through faith in Jesus, having his own righteousness credited to our account. And boy, this is really, I mean, if you want to turn it off, if you want to say, man, I think I'll pick that up later, right here, what I'm about to share with you, get this first before you click me off here. Don't miss this. Our connection to the law, our connection to the law should mean for me and you that we are encouraged, that we are encouraged from these words of our Lord. We should be encouraged by these words from our Lord, verses 17 through 20. See, the one who calls us to conform to God's law is also the one who came to fulfill the law for us and to fulfill the law in us. I couldn't keep the law. You couldn't keep the law. Guess who kept the law? Jesus kept the law. Jesus kept the law perfectly. He was righteous because he kept the law. He didn't sin. And so if I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he's fulfilled the law in me because I have his righteousness imputed to me. See, when we are rightly related to him through salvation, when we're rightly related to him, then we are rightly related to God's law. Not setting the law aside in our lives, but rather seeing the law fulfilled in our lives by Jesus living in us and keeping God's law for us and through us. Now, listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 4. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 4, the Word of God reads this: "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh." See, the law is weak in the flesh because we can't keep it. "For what the law could not do," Romans 8, 3 through 4, "for what the law could not do," the Apostle Paul writing here, "for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did." That's what Paul says. That's what Romans 8, 3 says. "Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh," Jesus took on the body of humans, of sinful flesh, "and as an offering for sin," the one perfect offering, Jesus Christ, "he condemned sin in the flesh." God condemned sin in the flesh, "so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus has saved my soul. He's imputed his righteousness to me. I have Jesus' righteousness today if I'm saved. If you're lost, you really need to let Jesus fulfill the law through you via your salvation. So knowing you are connected to the law, are you encouraged? Are you encouraged by Jesus' words yet? You ought to be encouraged. You ought to be encouraged by these words. Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law for us and in us. So, as Jesus' disciples, we should now obediently abide under the guidance of God's good law. And we should be progressively conformed to God's holy character as the law reveals God's character to us. Amen, hallelujah, come on. So, the age concerning the law identified, it's an antinomian age. The connection to the law identified, well, we're connected to the law in Jesus Christ. And I'm encouraged by that because I've got the Holy Spirit helping me to take on the character of Christ because Jesus came to fulfill the law. And number three today, Jesus' relationship to the law. Now, that's really specifically in verse 17 and 18. And we'll not get to 19 and 20, but we read 19 and 20 for context. So let's look at 17 and 18 again. "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Verse 18, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." 17, 18. Jesus' relationship to the law. The basis of Jesus' assertion is found in the abiding authority of the law. Nothing of the law would pass away until all of it is fulfilled. Jesus is basically saying law and the prophets, which was what? Which was a way of expressing the whole of Old Testament scriptures. In other passages, Jesus said in Luke 24:44, he says, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And so Jesus is speaking of God's law as it was recorded for us and preserved in the pages of all the Old Testament scriptures. Notice that Jesus affirms. He affirms that the Old Testament's authority extended down to the very letter forms, to the very letter forms of God's written law. Now, he said, this is what he said in the passage, he said, "Not the smallest letter." If you have a King James Version, you've got jot there. King James, jot. He said, "Not the smallest letter," or stroke. If you got the King James, it's going to say tittle, jot and tittle. He said, "Not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." Jesus was talking about the very letters of the Hebrew Bible and the marks of punctuation that distinguished those letters from each letter. Jesus is going to the most extreme extent possible to tell us that nothing of God's law will pass away until all of it is fulfilled. We might put it this way in our English vernacular. This was what we might say. I get a little tongue twisted up here. Till heaven and earth pass away, not one dot of a single I or one cross of a single T will fail from God's written word, his written law, until all of it is fulfilled. The point of all that we're talking about and dealing with, the point of all this is that everything will happen just as God has said it will happen. A couple of verses to kind of encourage you, because should be encouraged. You really should be encouraged as you look at this passage. A couple of verses to help you in that. Joshua 21:45. Joshua chapter 21, verse 45, the Word of God reads, "Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass." Amen. That's a good spot to say amen. Joshua 23:14 says, "Now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed." They've all come to pass. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. See, we are meant to take what Jesus says here about the enduring authority of God's Word very seriously. So let's think about this. We need to know the age we're living in. It's anti-law. It's antinomian. But as we look at this as saved brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to be encouraged because we're connected to the law. Jesus has imputed His righteousness. He did keep the law. He kept it perfectly, and we're saved. So that's been imputed to us. So we should be encouraged. And we should know that He's wanting to fulfill the law of God in us. And as we take on His character, we're not taking on His character to earn our salvation. We're taking on His character because we are saved, and we're seeking to bring glory and honor to His name. And so as we think about this thing here, Jesus' relationship to the law, we should take it very seriously. Antinomian, encouraged, He wants to fulfill it in us. This is a serious subject, right? He has made this same point to us, this serious subject of the Word, this serious subject of His Word. He has made this same point to us in other places in the Bible. Oh, over and over again. Luke 16:17 says, "But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail." Think about that. Think about that. Many unbelieving people, many lost people, unbelieving, powerful, liberal people, many unbelieving people throughout history have tried to wipe the Bible off of this planet. But it would be easier for them to wipe the planet out of the heavens instead. And then on top of that, by wiping out the heavens themselves, it would be easier for them to do that than it would be to wipe one single pen stroke of God's written word out. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty serious. That's pretty heavy today, isn't it? Jesus, who is himself the God of the Bible in human flesh, said this in Luke 21:33, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." God's word was written on earth by the God of heaven, but those very words that God gave will outlast both heaven and earth themselves. And so this is the big $90,000 question, or this is the big $1 million question. The question we need to ask is, can we really claim to be true followers of Jesus Christ and at the same exact time hold to some lesser view of the marvelous, incredible, bountiful authority of the Scriptures than Jesus holds to? I mean, if Jesus holds a pretty authoritative approach to the Word of God, we as His saved brothers and sisters, we as His children, His saved children, we ought to hold to a pretty serious view, authoritative view as well. Right? Amen? We are meant to take what Jesus says here about the enduring authority of God's Word very seriously. But Jesus' mission, what was His mission? Well, His mission was to take away the curse of sin, to take away the penalty of sin. Jesus' mission was to fulfill the law. That's what verse 17 says. "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Now, the Greek word, studying this in the Greek word used here is one that Matthew uses in his gospel 17 times in his gospel. And in 15 of those 17 times, this Greek word for fulfillment is used in reference to Jesus Christ. And in each of those occasions, those 15 out of 17 occasions, in each occasion in which this word refers to Jesus, it has the meaning of fulfillment. Fulfillment. I can connect the dots there, Pastor. That's pretty easy. But fulfillment in the sense of Jesus accomplishing the intention of His heavenly Father as it was revealed in the Old Testament Scripture. We read that when something in Jesus' life happened. Different stages of Jesus' earthly ministry. We read this. We come across this truth. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'll share a couple examples with you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, the Word of God reads, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet." We see the same formula over and over again in the Word of God concerning Jesus and His mission of fulfillment, of fulfilling the Old Testament Scriptures. Are you getting the drift of it? If John the Baptist sought to prevent Jesus from coming forward for baptism, to be baptized, Jesus said in Matthew 3:15, "Permitted at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." If His disciples sought to rescue Jesus from His betrayers in the garden, He stopped them saying in Matthew 26:54, "How then will the Scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen this way?" Righteousness, law, it's all kind of intertwined, isn't it? Right? This statement of fulfilling the Holy Old Testament Scriptures was the most remarkable claim anyone could ever make about themselves. And yet Jesus, because He's the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus can make this claim about Himself, and He also proves the claim to be true. He did not, as you can plainly see, come to earth in order to set the law of God aside, a law which, in fact, could never be set aside. Instead, He came to fulfill it. And because he fulfilled this law, which can never be set aside, we who have sinned and fallen short of God's law find that the law is completely fulfilled in us through him, our connection to it. And the man or woman who is thus related to the king by salvation does not find that he encourages them to grow to now disregard the law. Jesus doesn't encourage us to disregard the law, but rather to go on to progressively conform as his redeemed subjects to the holy standards of this very law that he came to fulfill. Amen. And praise God. And now let's start the grill, man. All right, men, start your grills. Everybody goes, you know, they pull the trigger on their igniters. All the grills all over the town are going, poof, poof, poof. You know, get the charcoal ready. Amen. No, the point is this. If you have not experienced the fulfilled law of God in your hearts through the salvation of Jesus Christ, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made for you to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And in doing so, you'll be connected to the law. You'll have his righteousness imputed to you. What does that mean, imputed to you? Put in you, friend. You'll have God's righteousness put in you. The curse of the law will no longer be on you. You will no longer experience spiritual death, but you will have spiritual life for eternity, forever and ever and ever. Now, your physical body's going to die. One out of one folk die around here, right? I mean, that is just the odds. One out of one going to die. And you're going to pay taxes, right? Death and taxes, certainties. But not your spiritual death. That's not a certainty. Oh, if you'll receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will bypass the spiritual death and you will live in a place called heaven with a Savior called Jesus. And you will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You will experience the very throne room of the Creator God that spoke this universe into its very existence. You'll be there with no telling how many millions or billions of other saved folk one day. You'll see your family members. You'll see Jesus. It'll be great. Amen? You won't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. But the beauty of this thing is, all of this doesn't start then and there. Salvation can start for you right here and now, right? And amidst this pandemic, and amidst these financial difficulties, and amidst whatever is going on in your life, difficulties or troubles or struggles or whatever it may be, there's a Savior who wants to walk through that with you. And the Bible talks about how he's not a heavy Jesus, he's a light Jesus. As so much to the point is when you're going through your struggles and your difficulties and you have Jesus, sometimes, friend, he'll carry you through, right? Now, so sometimes we're hand in hand with Christ going through our lives. And sometimes he's got us around the shoulder and he's getting us through our struggles. And sometimes he's leading us out, getting us through our struggles. But sometimes he's carrying us through our struggles. So if you don't know Christ, if you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm talking past knowing some religious things about Jesus. Sure, Jesus is the God of the Bible, and sure, Jesus died on a cross, and sure, Jesus resurrected the third day. We all know that. The demons know that. The devils know that, right? The demonic knows that. What we're talking about to you is, have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? It transcends religion. And what we're talking about is a relationship. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are you just a religious robot and you kind of go through the motions? You got to get past religion. You got to get onto relationship. Relationship. Let's say it together. Relationship. Amen. That's what you got to get to. That's what salvation is. So if you've not tasted, if you've not seen, if you've not experienced what Christ can do for you as an individual, how he can deliver you, set you free. Oh, what a day, what an hour, what a time to to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You can text me, call me. You can check out the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, Samaritan's Purse. There's all kinds of different good things out there. Radio Bible Class, rbc.com or .org. There's all kinds of good places to go to and think about and pray through. Man, don't miss Christ. Don't wait another day to make that decision. And if you do make that decision, let somebody know. Let a pastor know. Let a good Christian friend know. And one day soon, this will all be behind us. And you could be that one. You could be that individual to step out during that time of invitation or time of decision. You could be that person to walk down the aisle of a congregation, walk down the aisle of a New Testament church, and let the folk know that, hey, I've come out of darkness, I've come into light, and I'm ready to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, right? That could be you. And friend, you could be the brother or the sister with other Christian brothers and sisters and finish out your physical life here on this earth as a blood-bought, headed for the day of redemption, believer in Christ. I want to tell you, it's a great thing. It's an awesome thing. Don't miss the opportunity to do what we're talking about. Allow His imputed righteousness to come into your heart. Allow the fulfillment of the Old Testament law to happen through Christ in you. Don't miss that opportunity. That's a great opportunity. Well, man, when will I know? How will I know? Well, what are you feeling like right now? Are you feeling like something's missing in your life? Are you feeling like something's off? Are you feeling like you're less than complete? That may be a sign that you need to talk to somebody about your salvation. That may be a sign that you've got some sin cluttered in the closets of your life. You need to turn those things over to the Lord. But that may be a sign that you need to let Jesus in your heart for the first time. So think it through. Pray it through. Make a call, text. Take some action, right? You say, well, Pastor, the churches are closed. And, hey, the churches are getting ready to come back open. So call, text. Think about these different options that I've given you. God loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and shed His blood. Don't take that lightly. That's a great thing. Amen? You've been blessed, blessed, blessed. If you're saved and if you're lost, you've been given another opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Don't take that lightly. That's a huge thing. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy. Amen? Don't miss that. That's the beauty of the church age. Even in the midst of antinomianism, that's the beauty of the church age. Jesus still saves. And He wants to save you if you're lost. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You for the attention of the people today, Lord, online. And Lord, some were tempted to turn it off. Some were tempted to check out another service or sermon or whatever it may be. And Lord, if they did, when they come back, I pray they're able to finish it. And Lord, get the meat and the juice and all the goodness out of it, Lord. It's Your word. It's Your law. It's Your character we're seeking to embody and follow and live. Father God, thank You for the blessings of life. Thank You for the blessings of family. Thank You for the blessings of a good church home. We pray You continue to protect Your church, guard Your church, prosper Your church, Lord. Grow Your church, even in the midst of this pandemic, Lord. We pray You grow it. And Lord, may it be a beautiful bride given to You one day. God, we're looking forward to that time when the bride and the bridegroom come together, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord, thank You for that. Give us safety, Lord, the rest of this day, the rest of this weekend. Help us stay safe, masked up, or Lord, germ mixed up, hands washed, all that stuff. Lord, help us continue to stay safe. May we not grow lax. May we stay disciplined, Lord. We pray for the development of this vaccine. And Lord, we just pray that we all be protected one day from it. Thank You, Lord, for all that You do, for all that You're doing, for all the love that You give us, for the leadership You provide. Thank You for Your word. We love it. We praise You for it. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. And we'll see you what? Wednesday. At what time? 7 o'clock. See you back there. Looking forward to June 7th. Be praying. All right. See y'all.